Today on Dog Pound Report, we break down the 2015 regular season schedule. We're joined by Craig Robertson coming off of a career year and have your chance to win two tickets to the 2015 Browns official draft party. This is Dog Pound Report.
Good morning and welcome to Dog Pound Report. I'm Andy Baskin. Beside me, Nathan Zagurit. Nathan, I feel like we did everything but play a football game this week.
That's right. We had coach press conferences. We had general manager press conferences. The players are back. The draft is less than a week away. It's time for football.
And the one thing that'll get fans really fired up, again, will be our first trending topic today. The big news this week, the 2015 regular season schedule has been released. And here's what it looks at. And Nathan, I look at those first three games and I say,
I say as well. Week number one, Mike Pettine against the Jets, where he was the defensive coordinator for all that time. Todd Bowles, new head coach there. It's a team that's either going to have maybe Geno Smith at quarterback or maybe Marcus Mariota if they draft him. Young quarterback, certainly a winnable game. Then you come home for the Tennessee Titans, a team that you beat last year on the road in the largest road comeback in NFL history. Again, that could be Zach Mettenberger, or that could be Marcus Mariota in his first game. And then week three, at home against the Oakland Raiders, a team you beat last year at home at First Energy Stadium. Another young quarterback in Derek Carr. A good one, but still, young quarterbacks, inexperienced quarterbacks against our great secondary. This is an opportunity to come out of the gate very, very quickly for the Browns.
All right, Nathan, you get to the meat of the schedule, and you know to win and try to make the playoffs, you've got to beat the AFC North, and we see them right in the heart in the middle of the season.
It is going to be huge, and it's going to all start in Week 9, Thursday Night Football in Cincinnati, where the Browns beat the Bengals 24-3 on a Thursday night game a year ago. Then you go on the road and take on the Pittsburgh Steelers. You talk about it. It's four straight games in the division. It starts in Cincinnati, then the Steelers, and then you get the bye week right in the middle of it.
All right, let's talk about that bye week, because you're so used to seeing the Browns have an early bye week or a late bye week. Last year it was, what, week four?
Week four.
And so now all of a sudden you're week 11. If you're playing good football, man, that's what the doctor ordered.
It is what the doctor ordered, because you have an opportunity to get healthy for that stretch run, the final six games of the year with the bye coming in week number 11. It also means in this murderer's row part of your schedule where you have to win against the AFC North, you go from a Thursday night game to a Sunday game, so you get 10 days. Then you go from a Sunday, a bye week, all the way to a Monday night game. You get basically 15 days off, so the Browns are going to be very rested when they come back and take on the Ravens.
All right, let's talk about that Monday night game against the Ravens, because if you've got a Monday night game late in the season against an AFC North team, that means you might be getting a little bit of respect from the league office.
A lot of respect, a lot of eyes going to be there, and I think that's where the Browns go with an orange out with the new unis, orange tops, orange pants, and everybody gets fired up. First time since 2009, Monday Night Football here in Cleveland.
And that was your favorite?
That's my favorite game of the year, and that was my favorite combination. Maybe the orange tops with the white pants, but orange certainly is at the top of the list.
Speaking a little bit more about what this team is up to, in this past Monday, the team was up bright and early as they were ready to roll on the first day of the 2015 offseason conditioning, and look who shows up on the set. It's four-year veteran Craig Robertson. Hey, great to have you here.
Great to be here.
Craig, it's great to have you here. Congratulations on signing your restricted free agent tender.
Thank you.
99 tackles last year, career high. You were the Browns representative for the Walter Payton Man of the Year. You started 11 games. You scored a huge down for the defense there. It was a great season. Year one of Jim O'Neill's defense. Now it's year two. What are you looking forward to the most?
Really just growing in the defense. You learn so much from year one to year two, and you have to be able to just grow with everything. Not flushing everything that you had before, but be able to go from classroom 101 to classroom 102.
Now, the offseason's fun, but you all still put in workouts, and we've seen a lot of Instagram and Twitter videos of people doing crazy stuff. Our guy Nelly, Robert Nelson's out there in a crazy gas mask pushing smart cars around. Did you do anything wild to stay in shape this offseason?
I mean, I did everything that I'm used to doing. You know, nothing out of the box. I just do whatever got me here. You know, nothing. I don't change up too much. Pool workouts, sand, heels, and feet work. That's the main thing that I do. No pushing smart cars.
Yeah, I was going to say, we saw you doing the sand workout, the volleyball workout. How'd you start doing that, and what does that do to help you? How does working out in the sand make you a better football player?
Well, I mean, when you're walking around, on just regular concrete grass. But when you're in sand, your foot is actually going into the sand, which makes it harder for you to make quicker movements. So you have to make your feet quicker on top of the sand to not get so deep in the sand to come out and make moves and be quick.
All right, every kid's going to be doing that now.
Yeah, they're going to get out there on the beach.
See you on Instagram.
Why not? So last year, you really kind of blossomed, came into your own. What was it about this defense that made you so confident in your ability to go out there and make plays?
To be honest, the defense just it made me comfortable. It made everyone comfortable, and it allowed us to go out and make plays. Coach O'Neal and Coach Pett said day one, this defense will allow you to go make plays. And just hearing that confidence every day through training camp, through preseason, and when it got to the season, it was like, okay, well, let's go out and make plays. And it just came down to it. That's what everybody did.
Jim O'Neal said to me, we will stop the run this year. Let me repeat, we will stop the run. As an inside linebacker, a lot of talk maybe getting a big guy up front to kind of be that nose tackle. What would that mean for you as an inside linebacker to have somebody up there taking up double teams and freeing you to make plays?
When you always had that big guy up front, it always helps. But, I mean, Coach O'Neal always said, you know, stop the run's a mentality. You know, we have to build the mentality with the guys we have now and not have to bring someone in to take that role. You have to be able to stop the run here. It's an attitude thing.
Craig, I want to ask you about this because we all know life is more than just football. You've got a big event coming up at the Wolstein Center on May 3rd, Honor Good Deeds, a Tolerance Fair. What's that all about? And folks can come out and see you. What are they going to see and what are they going to hear? And what's this thing all about?
Well, the Tolerance Fair is mainly just raising the awareness for kids with Tourette's and ADHD and just how they're around the community and how they need to be accepted into the community. A lot of kids who have problems and the such, they're looked at with a shaded eye and like they're not a complete person, but they really are. And it's just showing you how to tolerate people who have disabilities that can help them at all times.
Great
what,
stuff.
Yeah, I was going to say, what got you involved in this? What made you say, I want to do this?
A kid named Justin Bachman. I went to the Tolerance Fair 2 years ago, and I was actually with the Browns doing a Play 60 there, and I met him, and it was just crazy that this high school kid ran this event. And I was, well, just give me the rundown. And he told me he used to run cross country, and his coach wouldn't let him run anymore. So he, you know, wanted to raise the awareness, and it really hurt my heart because I ran cross country, and I wanted him to run.
I did too.
Yeah.
I did. It was punishment for
me. I got out of basketball conditioning by running cross country.
But it really hurt my heart because you have to have a heart to do cross country. You know, you just can't just go out and run just because.
Greg, best of luck. We're looking forward to seeing this May 3rd, Wolstein Center. Again, it is Honor Good Deeds Tolerance Fair. Thank you so much. Appreciate it. Have a great season coming up.
Have a great year.
Looking forward to talking to you down the road. All right, we've got much, much more coming up on the Dog Pound Report, so stick around.
Coming up next, we talk to Solomon Wilcox about the Browns' draft strategies. Stay right here, Dog Pound.
Welcome back to Dog Pound Report. It is an honor and pleasure to bring in Solomon Wilcox. He is the color commentator right here on News Channel 5 for preseason football, and we are looking forward to it. Solomon, 4 days away from the draft, do you see the Browns making any move or any big moves around the league before Thursday night?
Well, there's no doubt they have 10 total draft picks. I'd be hard-pressed to believe that they're going to use all 10 of those picks to pick 10 different players. So certainly I would be inclined to believe that they would use some of those picks maybe possibly to move up and get the players they covet the most on the draft board.
Solomon, a few draft experts have called the Browns a total wild card in this year's draft. If you're Ray Farmer, you're the GM, what are you doing at 12 and 19?
You know, let's face it, they're loaded on defense. I think they have depth on the defensive line, at linebacker, and in the secondary. Yes, they could use maybe another nose tackle, another one of those five techniques on their defensive line. But at the end of the day, they need to get playmakers on the offensive side of the ball.
Right.
Ray Farmer knows that. They can come up with a talented wide receiver that can help this offense, along with Dwayne Bowe and Brian Hartline. They could come away with a talented tight end. Maybe not in the first round, but later, maybe second, third, or fourth round at the tight end position. So I believe they need to put some playmakers around the quarterback. And at the end of the day, if this offense can score points and if they can run the football, I think they're going to be a formidable football team.
All right, so Solomon, play Ray Farmer for me for 1 second. You've got two picks in the first round, and there are a lot of people saying quarterback.
Yeah.
What would you do? Would you be apt to trade those two picks to move up? Or would you rather, and I'm listening to what you're saying, would you rather stand pack and fill the holes that they need?
First of all, you have to wait and see how the draft is going to fall. I would be coveting, first of all, one of the talented edge rushers because they're just so difficult to find. And you've got five really good ones. I think Bud Dupree may be there at number 12. I'm not so sure that they'll use a pick on Randy Gregory, someone who tested positive at the scouting combine. And I don't believe Dante Fowler will be there. I don't believe Vic Beasley will be there at number 12. So I would be inclined to maybe use number 12 on one of those other edge rushers, maybe a Bud Dupree, and then go for the receiver later on. We expect five receivers to go in the first round. So later with the 19th overall pick, no, you're not going to come away with Kevin White. You're not going to get Amari Cooper. But you may be able to get a Devontae Parker. You may be able to get Green Beckham. You may be able to get one of these other talented receivers who have a first-round grade on them with the 19th overall selection.
Solomon, we have less than 4 months before the Browns preseason schedule begins. What are you looking forward to as half of the team that will be calling those games right here on News Channel 5? I got my eye. We got prime time against Buffalo. Right. And then a nice little trip down to Tampa Bay. I'm looking forward to those. How about you, Solomon?
You know, I can't get to the regular season yet because we got to get through the preseason with the Cleveland Browns. I got to see someone emerge and take hold of that quarterback position. Will it be Josh McCown? Will Johnny Manziel show the kind of improvement that many people in the building expect for him to show? Someone's got to emerge because I think this is a really good football team. We know they have one of the best offensive lines in the National Football League. They were able to run the ball last year. I think they'll be able to do it again in 2015. You get some talented wide receivers. Now we need someone to steady the ship and be able to play the quarterback position. I think that is the resounding theme, okay, throughout preseason, throughout training camp. Someone's got to grab hold of that position and be able to steer the ship with the Cleveland Browns, because I think the defense is going to be good. They're going to improve in all areas on the defensive side of the ball. And if we get some wide receivers that wants to make plays and get the ball into the end zone, then I think it's an offense that's ready to take off. Just need a quarterback to show up.
All right, hey, Solomon, busy week for all of us. Where can we catch you covering the draft?
You know, we'll be in our L.A. studios with NFL Network covering all things as it pertains to the NFL draft. We'll be with all 32 teams. We'll be selecting players or at least helping the teams figure out who they should take and then trying to tell you if they're a good fit or not. So we're going to have a lot of fun in our L.A. studios. That's where we'll be all week leading up to the draft and even following the draft, as we'll break down and give a draft grade for all 32 teams following the draft.
Solomon, great stuff as always. Thanks for being with us. Coming up next, we talk about the latest happenings in Berea with Andrew Gribble and learn how you can win tickets to the Browns draft party.
Welcome back to Dog Pound Report. Andrew Gribble is here to fill us in on all the things happening on the Cleveland Browns mobile app. What is the latest?
Well, you know, the only thing missing this week from our standpoint was a game, because we had multiple press conferences. Mike Pettine, Ray Farmer. You know, Pettine got to talk a little bit about offseason workouts, but really, we were all wanting to hear about the draft, and both of those guys talked heavily about what's going to go on next week.
They did, but they're not giving away any of the secrets at this point right now.
This is all let's hide stuff, right? I mean, you're either going to give out misinformation, or Ray did, I thought, a great job of being able to be honest without trying to be too honest. You agree with that?
No, and then this is not a unique thing to Cleveland. I think if there's a GM out there that's giving out information, I still haven't found it yet. So it's a way of kind of letting people know maybe what the needs are with the Browns, and I think we all see what the roster is and kind of can fill in the blanks, but also kind of maybe putting a little bit of misinformation out there to kind of maybe skew the trade market a little bit. You know, he said that stuff does matter a little bit, but, you know, we're just getting a feel for where the Browns are, but really those decisions are going to be made that Thursday in the moment, in the heat of the battle.
All right, let's talk a little bit more about Ray in a second. I do want to talk about Mike Pettine, because Mike Pettine earlier this week was asked about the possibility of trading up in the first round to see maybe you get a quarterback. Here's what he had to say.
I think you never truly know till you get close. I think people naturally assume that we can be a part of it because of having the extra pick. I have maybe having a little bit more ammunition than some other teams would. But you know, it just makes for good filler material for you guys, good draft talk.
But you are still open to the option of trading up for Mariota?
Sure. Why not?
All right, that's the T-shirt of the week. Sure, why not? Because Ray said it. Mike Pettine said it. I mean, that's really kind of the theme you get the week before you go into a draft, guys.
You're just not going to really confirm or deny anything at this time of year. And I think as you watch the clip and you maybe read him say, sure, why not, that becomes a big story. But when you watch it, clearly it's that Mike Pettine sense of humor that makes you think that it's not the most realistic possibility. But again, anything is possible on draft night.
He's got that Cheshire Cat grin on. He's having a good time with it, having a good time with the media. And I thought Ray Farmer did a good job on Thursday when he said, basically, look, if you look at the starting lineups, if we had to trot them out there today, I'm fine on offense. I'm fine on defense. That gives me the freedom to take the best player on the board at 12, 19, 43 throughout the draft.
I think what's interesting, though, is specifically on defense. We look at that, you know, like Solomon said earlier, this defense is pretty loaded. But at the same time, where the Browns pick at number 12 and number 19, defense might make the most sense in this draft. That's why Danny Shelton keeps getting linked to the Browns. Those edge pass rushers. You know, Shane Ray was talked about as a potential top five pick, but he's starting to slide a little bit because some injury concerns. So maybe he falls in the Browns' range. So even though this team is probably set up best right now on defense, that first round could have a defensive flavor to it.
And I'm fine with that. We're going to be dominant on defense and run the football. And if you get a nose tackle and you get another pass rusher, this defense could be literally top three in the NFL and compete to be the best overall because you're so good on the back end already.
All right, let me ask you guys the same question I asked Solomon. You've got two picks in the first round. They're two pretty good picks. Do you stand pat and just use 12 and 19, or are you trying to maneuver away with maybe some team on the West Coast that's really nice and they've got a thunderbolt through their helmet? Do you try to maneuver with them to try to maybe make a play for another quarterback or maybe something like that?
If Phillip Rivers wants to come to Cleveland and the Browns can pull it off, I'm fine with that. Let's go to the playoffs right now, and then you're grooming Johnny to take over for Phillip Rivers. But I think if I'm the Browns, I'm staying at 12 and 19 if the guy that I want at 12 is there. If there are three or four guys, five guys I want, I'm going to move from 12 back into, say, 14 to 18, try to pick up another second and have four picks in those first two rounds because then you can get everything you want. You can get the running back if you want a running back. You can get the receiver, the edge rusher, the nose tackle, a tight end. Whatever you want to do, you can fill the top four needs on your board.
In terms of trades, this draft really hinges on the Tennessee Titans at number two because, you know, there's a lot of teams that are maybe thinking about making that trade up to Marcus Mariota. And when you're trading up to that number two pick, it's going to cost a lot. It's probably going to cost your future first round pick as well. But if Mariota is still on the board after two, then the cost goes down a little bit. Then it starts to be reasonable that two picks in the first round would be enough to move up and get him. But again, it just seems like such a more likely and probably boring scenario that he gets drafted by Tennessee at number two. And all this talk for months is just meaningless.
All right, let me throw this one little topic back into because the Todd Gurley situation.
That's why I mentioned running back.
And
sure.
You said that, and Mel Kiper said that. Are you buying that the Browns might actually be looking at a running back at 12, knowing what we went through last year with two promising young running backs on this team?
I love the Crow. I think the Crow is going to be fine. I think Terrence West is working very hard this offseason. I think the NFL has shown that if you have a good offensive line, which the Browns do, you can run the football no matter who is back there. I'm not a big believer in first-round running backs. That being said, if they think Todd Gurley is Adrian Peterson and he's that good, this is a team that's going to run the football. I'd be okay with it. Not necessarily my philosophy. I'd rather see us get a wide receiver out there or help this defense. But I think it's possible that a guy like Gurley or Gordon could end up here.
Are you cooking what he's eating? That's my question.
Here's the problem with the Gurley situation because the running back maybe is making a comeback in this year's draft. I saw Todd McShay's recent mock draft. He has Gurley going number six to the Jets and because his knee is checked out. We saw what he did in college. Also, he can return kicks. So he's become kind of a valuable commodity, and he might even be out of the Browns' range. So, you know, you have 30 visits. You got to use them all, and I understand why you bring him in, even if you maybe
and why
have
you
no
don't bring Mariota in, right? That's why you didn't bring him in, because you know everything, and you're not going to use a visit on him.
Yeah, Kevin O'Connell worked with him. They know him as well as any team in the NFL.
All right, thank you very much. We'll check you out on ClevelandBrowns.com. Andrew Gribble doing a great job. Make sure you hit him on the mobile app as well. Look at you, Nathan. Bringing it to the house. All right, when we come back, we've got more of the Dog Pound Report right here on News Channel 5.
Coming up next on Dog Pound Report, a poignant social post of the week, our weekly predictions, and we tell you how to win tickets to the Browns draft party. Welcome back, Dog Pound. This week's social post of the week comes from Kansas City's KCTV5, who posted the incredibly moving story of new Browns wide receiver Dwayne Bowe, who flew back to Kansas City last week to attend the funeral of well-known Chiefs superfan Betty Johnson. Bowe and other players would pay their respects with a kiss on the cheek before every home game, and Bowe made sure to be in Kansas City to pay his final respects. And Andy, what I love about this is that it shows Dwayne Bowe's got a big heart, and not only did he go pay his respects, he spoke at the funeral saying that he's still going to kiss her in the sky before every game and play his heart out for her.
I mean, that's the kind of thing that you want in a football player. We all know what they do between the lines on Sundays, maybe Monday nights. But to watch this guy do that and to see what Dwayne, I mean, that makes you proud to say that he's a Cleveland Brown right
now. Yeah, you're excited. You're already rooting for him before you even know why.
Very cool stuff. All right, finally, it's time for our weekly predictions where we're going to tell you what we're convinced is going to happen in the near future. Nathan, you go first.
I know the draft's coming up, and we want to talk draft, but the schedule just came out, and I see at the Jets, home for Tennessee, home for the Raiders. Browns are starting the season 3-0. Let's go. Giddy up.
You're calling your shot right
calling now. It right now. Shots
you
fired.
You need 3-0. To yell, here we go, dog pound. Here we go.
Here we go, Brownies. Here we go.
Look at that. You did it right.
Let's go.
I didn't even set you up the wrong way. All right, here is my bold prediction for this week, especially when it comes to the draft on Thursday night. Jameis Winston, I think, is a lock at one. If that doesn't happen, okay, we'll see. But I think somewhere between 2 through 5, we are going to see some shakeups. I think there's some teams that want to move up, and I cannot believe that Marcus Mariota is not going to at least get a little bit of interest from Philadelphia. I think something's going to shake. I think San Diego is going to be a player, and clearly the Browns will be a player because they have the assets to do it.
I think the Browns could be a part of a three-way trade that allows them to get more assets and more picks at that number 12 spot. We'll see if that happens come draft day.
I think it's going to be a fun night. All right, Dog Pound, thanks for joining us this week. If you want a chance to win 2 tickets to the official Cleveland Browns draft party at Cleveland Public Auditorium, visit clevelandbrowns.com/BrownsTV and enter the keyword partay.
Partay, yes indeed.
Nathan knows how to party. Make sure you watch or make sure you listen to Nathan on Cleveland Browns Daily, ESPN 850, and then I'll be right back here on News Channel 5 weeknights and on 92.3 The Fan from 10 to 2 with my good friend Jeff Phelps. Have a great week. Take us home.
The draft is coming up and we bark together on the Dog Pound Report. See you, everybody.